You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Saturday, December 5th, our first broadcast in the month of December, which of course is highlighted, needless to say, by Christmas, which is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And the war on Christmas is heating up now that the calendar has turned to December, and we're going to be keeping track of the latest attacks being waged against the faith of our fathers. As I wrote on the website, conservatives will decry this war as an attack on Christianity, which it is, but it's a lot more than that. It's an attack on white people. Christianity is under assault because it's the religion that nearly every white person used to identify with, and the majority still do, even if only in a cultural sense. Christmas is under assault because white people are under assault. It's why manger scenes are banned on government property, but menorahs are everywhere. It's the same reason you can't even mention the Bible in most public schools, but there are public and charter schools all over the country teaching Islam and Kwanzaa. Those religions are fine because they're non-white religions. And we're almost to the point now where white people will have no holidays at all to honor their heroes. Washington's birthday, President's Day, can't last much longer because Washington and some other presidents were evil slave owners. And up until JFK, just about every president was an unabashed racist. Columbus Day, well, every year, of course, that's denounced more and more as a day that honors a genocidal monster. Independence Day, why should anyone celebrate a country that enslaved millions of blacks and massacred the Indians, where segregation was legal until the 1960s and homosexual marriage was outlawed in most states until just this year? Thanksgiving, don't get me started. Not only is it associated with Christianity, which is increasingly seen as evil, it also celebrates the early white settlers who went on to genocide the Indians and enslave blacks.
James,
really, the only Keith, I'm going to toss it to you for full commentary. I was just going to say in summation, though, the only holidays we should be observing are Cinco de Mayo, Martin Luther King Day, Juneteenth, Harvey Milk Day, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, and, of course, Holocaust Awareness Day. Finally, those who attack Christmas displays, any public expressions of Christian and Christianity and our Christian heritage, hate everything else that decent Americans believe in. So rest assured, conservatives, if you hold any conservative views whatsoever on any topic, they hate you too. They hate religious bigots, which is what they call evangelicals, as much as they hate racist bigots, which is what, of course, they call conservatives. Our fight is your fight, and you better wake up and join us before it's too late.
Well, to prove, to put the cherry on top of what James just told you, if you doubt that there is an anti-Christian bias that permeates basically the establishment of America today, look no further than a story that came out in Thursday's Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, showing you that the University of Tennessee, not Harvard, not Yale, not Brandeis,
not UC Berkeley,
right, but the University of Tennessee's head sent down a directive saying that no Christmas parties were allowed. You could have holiday parties, but he didn't want them morphing into Christmas parties. In other words, this whole season is based upon the birth of our Messiah, if you are a Christian, but we're now basically mandated by a government school not to mention that, and not to celebrate it publicly if you are a student at the University of Tennessee or a student organization wants to have a party during the holiday season, they have to make crystal clear that they are not celebrating anything to do with Christmas. Now, this is in the heart of Red State America, folks. This is here in Dixie, in the old Confederacy. Now, if that doesn't show you the power and the strength of the leftist media, if you're a part of the establishment, not only in the educational field, but in the news media, in the entertainment industry, in the churches of America today, it doesn't matter where you are. Basically, if you're not a leftist, like we said last hour, you're a left-outist. You've got no place to be. You've got no voice. You are on the outside. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose any upward mobility you had. And as a result, people are going to do one of two things. They're either going to cower and acquiesce, or they're going to stand up and be counted. And thank heaven for Donald Trump, because now we have someone to represent those of us who want to stand up and be counted, James.
Well, we do. And to get back to the point that I was making, conservatives want to, respectable conservatives, and I use that as a pejorative term, we are the real paleo conservatives. We are the real populists. We are the ones who are advancing the mission that they claim for themselves. But they had better believe, and increasingly they are, at least implicitly, but very explicitly, they need to understand that our fight is their fight and their fight is our fight. The same people who denounce and hate us for being outspokenly pro-white, they hate them too. They hate every vestige of Christian heritage that this country has ever had and believed in. They're the same people who want to take your guns, NRA members. They're the same people who call anyone who opposes so-called homosexual marriage a hater and a bigot. It's the same crowd who refer to Christian groups like Focus on the Family and American Family Association as hate groups and neo-Nazis, etc., for their biblical opposition and righteous opposition to homosexuality. And it's the same bunch who keep hounding the Boy Scouts because they don't want perverts to be scoutmasters. Let me tell you something. If you want to listen to the voice of authentic and genuine conservatism, you've tuned into the right radio show, Keith.
That's right. We're unbossed and unbought. I'm looking here at our patented flag, which has the rebel flag, political cesspool written in the first red field at the top, and then in the other three, no surrender, no retreat, no apologies. That's us, folks. We're the people. We're the 200-proof conservatism. Nothing is watered down at the political cesspool. We're going to give it to you straight and strong.
There's a biblical admonition, of course, about trees and the fruit that they produce. We were out there planting the seeds and toiling in the vineyards many, many years before Donald Trump came along. We were popularizing these things behind the scenes, and now I'm not going to say, of course, obviously.
Well, it is bearing fruit.
It would be ridiculous to say we're the sole reason for Trump's success, but we did play a role in it. I think, you know, now people have a place where they can invest in. They can support the GOP frontrunner without fear of reprisal, whereas if they had come out publicly for us, as so many people have, our donors especially, but some people might have shied away because we've been so attacked by the establishment press. But Donald Trump gives them an outlet.
Maybe the worm is turned now.
It is turning, Keith, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Stay tuned, everybody.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Folks, that song requested by Keith Alexander, there's something in the air, a revolution in the air, and it's white.
And it's right, right wing.
You know, I don't have a problem being identified as right wing. In fact, that's something that I would claim for myself if it has to separate me from the establishment conservatism. But I do believe that there's something in the air. I believe that there is a change coming, and you didn't think that the natural order would be suppressed forever. It has to break through. It is, after all, the natural order.
Nature will come, you know, will assert herself sooner or later, and that's what's happening.
And it's irrelevant to me whether or not Donald Trump is the genuine article. I believe that there is a chance. But regardless, there is no doubt what he's saying. And what he's saying is resonating with the people to such a strong extent that he is now up in the polls. He has 36% of the popular support, according to CNN on Friday, over the whole GOP field. And this is a field with, what, 15 candidates? 36%. He's up 20 points over Ted Cruz. This thing that happened in San Bernardino only is proving him right. But it's not to say that it's going to be easy and that those in positions of power are going to relinquish that power. They are going to fight, and they will fight harder the more they are cornered. Talking about the war on Christmas, Brother Nathaniel, his stock has certainly been rising a lot lately in the political cesspool. He has come up with the clip that continues with our theme this hour, which is, of course, the war on Christmas. Kevin McDonald with us in the very next segment to once again weigh in on this very issue. But let's hear from Brother Nathaniel now via clip.
Christmas has all but disappeared from American life. Instead of the joyous sound of Merry Christmas, we are continually bombarded with the bland and antichrist Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Season's Greetings, and all of the rest of the Jewish-inspired slogans aimed at eradicating the name of Christ from our lips and ears. And it was just last week, in joining the myriad of world leaders throughout Christendom in their snubbing of Christmas, Obama celebrated Hanukkah at the White House, yet another example of the Jewish takeover of the month of December. The Jewish war on Christmas all begins with the Jewish-run and funded ACLU, which constantly vomits out its favorite lie, separation of church and state. But this mantra, separation of church and state, is not an actual law of the land, but rather was coined by Thomas Jefferson in his reply to the Danbury Baptists of Rhode Island, assuring them that the state would never interfere with their public expression of Christianity in the public square. Yet now, distorting the original intent of separation of church and state, not a December goes by without the ACLU litigating against some small American town, forcing it to remove all symbols of Christmas displayed in its parks and streets. For instance, recently an ACLU Jewish attorney named Katie Schwartzman threatened to sue the town of Ponchatoula, Louisiana, unless it removed a Christmas cross annually displayed in the center of town. The mayor was forced to acquiesce, explaining to a local TV station, "We don't have the money to fight the ACLU. These kind of lawsuits are very expensive." In concert with the ACLU, in its relentless war on Christmas, is the powerful Jewish lobby, the Anti-Defamation League, known as the ADL, led by Abraham Foxman, who often sports a Jewish yarmulke. Foxman and the ADL have infiltrated our public schools with one of its many curricula, this one called the December Dilemma Program. But December has never been a dilemma for Americans until the ADL has made it so, teaching our youth that with so many, holidays being celebrated throughout December, that any public celebration of Christmas would be an act of intolerance. But where is the ADL or the ACLU when the 40-foot Hanukkah menorah is put up on the White House lawn every year, lit by Talmudic rabbis, flanked by a Jewish head of state, and even accompanied by the U.S. Air Force band playing for the Jews? I have a little dreidel. No, not a peep out of the ADL or the ACLU. No intolerance cited by the ADL, nor the ACLU's favorite lie, separation of church and state. My fellow Americans, the malevolence and hypocrisy of these bandits who stole Christmas is clear for all to see. The union of synagogue and state will continue its onward, relentless march unless someone has the guts to say no to the Jews who stole Christmas.
Well, there's Brother Nathaniel Keith, a individual, a man, born into a Jewish family, Jewish by birth, and converted to Orthodox Christianity. Everybody knows Brother Nathaniel's story. He was on with us most recently, 2 or 3 weeks ago, which I thought his testimony was just awe-inspiring. And you can't be much more candid than he was in that segment, can you, Keith, with regards to who is behind the war on Christmas predominantly?
It takes one to know one, as they say. And he knows them. He knows them well. He reminds me of Henry Loeb. Henry Loeb quit Temple Israel in Memphis. He was the mayor during the infamous sanitation workers' strike, which somehow, you know, culminated in Martin Luther King's assassination. But Henry Loeb, as the mayor of Memphis, quit Temple Israel, his home of worship, because he got tired of being harangued by Rabbi Wax, the presiding rabbi at Temple Israel at the time, about what he should do regarding the sanitation workers' strike. He joined his wife's former church. He married a shiksa, as they say. Her name was Mary Gregg, and she had attended St. John's Episcopal Church, where I did. And Henry Loeb told us in the adult education class at the time that Rabbi Wax, believed in the separation of church and state, just not the separation of synagogue and state. And that sounds very similar to what Brother Nathaniel. That rings so true, because they're more than willing for the government to get behind Jewish power and influence and the Jewish faith, but the Christian faith is a no-no.
Well, it goes to prove our point, though. I mean, yes, race matters, and it matters probably more than just about anything, but you get an honest guy like Brother Nathaniel, who has Jewish ancestry. We're going to team up and partner with him if he's willing to tell the truth. He recognizes the truth. We're going to fight with him, and I'll fight with him over a lot of white people who are out there, like people who are...
Like Russell Moore.
Yeah. I would rather stand in the trenches with Brother Nathaniel Kapner over Russell Moore, a Gentile Southern Baptist, any day of the week. It's not even close. And Jesse Lee Peterson, who I teamed up with, CNN paired me with in one of our debates on CNN. Jesse Lee Peterson, black guy, honest, great guy, love him. And
a good Christian, and trying his best to improve the lot of everybody, not just black people, but of everyone in America. He's a fountain of conservative wisdom. Believe me, we know them by their fruits, and the fruits of Nathaniel Kapner and Jesse Lee Peterson are beyond reproach.
And they're both Christians, too, and that's something that shouldn't be forgotten as we discuss their merits. Well, anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Kevin McDonald, the highlight of the evening, in an evening full of highlights. And then later on tonight, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I are going to team up, and we're going to drop
Bombays will be wide open.
Oh, man, you don't even know how much napalm he's brought into the studio tonight. You should see it. It's all in his backpack.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Donald Trump is America's only real hope to make America great again. Donald Trump can't do it by himself. He can't do it with his money alone. We must all pull together and support Donald Trump for president in 2016. Opposition to Donald Trump's candidacy is formidable and unrelenting. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus condemns Donald Trump on a regular basis. Thousands of intellectuals and leaders unify themselves in letters and boycotts, calling Donald Trump a racist and a hater. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation has promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. Whites, who in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that they are quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. We must stand with Trump and make America great again. Please join the Trump Super PAC. Go to thedailytrump.org for more information.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. T-O-Q is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We are joined now for the highlight of the evening by Dr. Kevin McDonald, who certainly needs no introduction to our audience. But for the sake of those who are tuning in for the first time tonight, and every week we have new listeners, that's a fact, I will give you a very brief biography. Kevin McDonald, PhD, a former professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, is the author of several books, including The Culture of Critique and Cultural Insurrections. Dr. McDonald also serves as the editor of the Occidental Quarterly. We run those commercials every night. And the OccidentalObserver.net, his webzine. Got to make that a daily read. And he rejoins us tonight to discuss the war on Christmas. Let me
just say this. Hey, James. Great to be here.
Good to have you, Dr. McDonald.
And Kevin, it's great to have you and great to be with you, as always, my friend. Of course, you just heard from Keith Alexander, who is co-hosting with me this evening. And we are very delighted for the discussion we're going to have tonight, which centers around your an article that you wrote actually a couple of years ago, but it was so profound to me and hit the nail so much on the head that I have rerun it on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, for the last two or three years. You gave it the not-so-provocative title, Yes, Virginia, the Jews Stole Christmas. Break it down for us, Kevin, if you will.
Well, yeah, it's based on a book that was written by a Jewish academic about how Jews subverted Christmas. And, of course, it's written from a very Jewish perspective that this was in the interest of all Americans, that it wasn't nice or wasn't good to have an America that was dominated by, you know, by one religion that was that when which Jews would feel excluded and that sort of thing. But I make the point that they see this as a very high-minded kind of thing, that they're doing this for Christmas for everyone. But of course, it is certainly in their interest to do this. They have systematically undermined Christianity in the public square. One of the things that's not mentioned that much is that Jews have. The American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, are very important in creating the legal situation so that that you can't have Christmas scenes at public schools and that sort of thing.
They're very responsible for the triumph of liberalism generally, wouldn't you say, Dr. McDonald?
I would definitely say that. And in the article, I talk about the idea of a proposition nation that Jews have been very intent on defining America as a set of democratic principles, the rule of law, or something like that, as opposed to a Christian, as opposed to having anything to do with ethnicity or religion, because if you look at historically in America, we did think of ourselves as European and certainly as Christian, and those are not to be defining features of America. And once you define America as a proposition nation, well, then there's no reason why we can't have Muslims come here or Africans or anybody come here.
Basically, they've deracinated us.
Or whatever. What?
Yeah. In other words, they've deracinated us. That's what exactly. The whole purpose of the proposition nation theory is.
Exactly. The proposition nation theory is probably the most vile, one of the most vile ideas that we have. This is the gateway to multiculturalism. This is the gateway to massive immigration of all the different peoples of the world, all the different religions of the world. Because, the only thing we have in common is this idea of democracy and so on. That's all that binds us together. when, of course, you know, if you look at history, we definitely felt bound together by the fact that of Christianity, but also our race. I mean, we were 90% white. We thought of ourselves as a white European nation, with you know, part of the Western tradition, you know, and all that. But that's all gone by the boards now.
That reminds me of John Jay's Federalist Paper number 2, in which he described the American people as a band of brothers joined by race, religion, and a common heritage.
Exactly. And that is what is missing now. You couldn't possibly say that in an academic context or in the media now, or the politicians can't say that anymore. Or they'll do everything they can to exclude them. It's that kind of atmosphere.
Well, of course, Dr. McDonald, you have proven that, in fact, you can say those things and live to tell about it. I guess it wouldn't hurt to have tenure as you did at the University of California, but nevertheless, or California State University, rather, but yet here you are. And
in fact, we said earlier in the show that in just about every institution in America, you're either a leftist or you're a left-outist, and you've managed to defy that, so congratulations.
Well, it's why, Kevin, listen, I don't bestow praise frivolously, but Dr. McDonald is truly a hero, and you become a hero, of course, by risking something that most people wouldn't dare, and this was a guy who had it all at his feet as a tenured professor in academia, a prestigious position, and he dared to tell the truth and continues to tell the truth now, even in retirement. But he never backed down, never apologized, and it's why he is a guy that I would gladly share a trench with any day of the week.
Well, we are sharing the trench, and I appreciate you saying that, but it's sad that so few professors are on board. You know, we there's a handful of people, but there's this reign of terror in the universities, and it's getting worse, as we all know. The University of Missouri situation, Yale University, they're clamping down. They're trying to just completely just overturn the entire traditional order of the academic world, where free speech and ideas people. I think when I went into academia, I thought of academics as fearless warriors for the truth, By the time I got...
Well, it's trickled down all the way to the University of Tennessee now.
Yeah.
The University of Tennessee's president has decreed that you cannot have a Christmas party on campus at the University of Tennessee. This is in the heart of the old Confederacy in Red State America. So, believe me, the revolution has succeeded beyond their wildest dreams.
But I believe, though, gentlemen, it's tenuous. 90% of the people at that university may not agree with that dictate. Unfortunately, those who do are in positions of power. But I think Donald Trump is proving that political correctness does not speak for, or the tenets of political correctness certainly do not speak for, the majority of real working class, middle class Americans.
Well, as we say, it's a mile wide and an inch deep.
And it could change quickly, even in the halls of academia and the positions of power. Kevin, do you believe that would be possible? Or could you see the day where things change, where not just the populists agree with us, but those in positions of leadership? Is that a bridge too far, or is it something that's perhaps fathomable?
Well, I'm very enthusiastic about the candidacy of Donald Trump. I think if he actually became president, I think that would be a game changer. I think that would really change the landscape of a lot of things. I think that you can see the Republican elites, they're just panicked right now. They don't know what to do. He gave a talk at the Republican Jewish Coalition. He did not say what they wanted to hear. He did not, bow down and grovel and say, yes, we'll put the capital we will acknowledge that the capital of Israel is in Jerusalem. He did not, say the things that they expected to hear. He thought that, he said that, Israel's not doing everything it can to get peace with the Palestinians, which is so obvious to anybody who looks at the situation. But this is the kind of thing that's never said to the Republican Jewish Coalition. I'm very, very encouraged by it. He's saying things that no one has said in decades, really, about race, about he's standing up to the Jewish lobby, and he's basically saying, I don't need your money. That is just really a breath of fresh air.
He's like the little boy that told the emperor he had no clothes.
And, of course, he was booed by that fat cat Jewish constituency of the GOP, the big donors of the GOP candidates. And he said, I know why you don't support me. And this was a direct quote. He says, you don't support me because you can't own me. And, you know, it's not to say that all of his policy is anti-Israel. Certainly, one of the very few planks with which I disagree with Donald Trump is his foreign policy with regards to Israel, though he is quite strong in favor of Putin in a foreign policy capacity with which I agree. But yes, go ahead, Dr. McDonald.
That's another aspect, that he is your favorite Putin in Syria, which is another common sense idea. That you know, the Israel lobby just hates that idea. They want Assad gone. That's their main goal. And they don't care if ISIS does it or who does it, but they want Assad down. They want Syria to be just sort of wiped out for the next 25 years. He's going against what the Israel lobby wants in every way.
Well, you know, that's based on the Clean Break Memorandum. They wanted all the moderate leaders as well as the extremist so-called leaders of the Muslim world removed and replaced.
We got to take a break. We're back with Dr. McDonald, back to the war on Christmas right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 866-986-6397.
Folks, do yourself a favor. If you're enjoying this interview with our esteemed guest, Dr. Kevin McDonald, as I'm sure you are, I would encourage you to make one of your daily reads, theoccidentalobserver.net. That's www.theoccidentalobserver.net. Of course, we link to it from our blog. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Occidental Quarterly, edited by Dr. Kevin McDonald. And there's information on how to do that at both our website and his, theoccidentalobserver.net. That's his webzine. He edits the articles and has a nice stable of talent there writing for that website. But getting back to this article that he wrote a couple of years ago, Yes, Virginia, the Jews Stole Christmas, I couldn't help but note this one passage, which I'll read now. Jews have been the vanguard of an effort to transform Christmas time into a holiday season belonging to all Americans without religious exclusivity. And, of course, we know any real country, any real nation, I don't like to use the word country. Country sort of defines a geographical landmass. A nation is one of blood and soil, of race, and one that, of course, accompanies a common heritage and predominantly a common religion. But the article continues, and this is an excerpt from his article. The most important Jewish mechanisms of secularization are comedy and parody, for laughter undermines religious awe. And as God is my witness, we see that again, once again, and we see it every year in December coming out at a theater near you, something from Hollywood. And, you know, I know the ADL likes to pretend that it's anti-Semitic rage when someone claims that the Jews own the media, but people like myself and Keith Alexander and Dr. McDonald are agreeing with the Jews when they write that they control the media. And we link to articles from the Times of Israel when very Jewish writers boast about the fact that they own not only Hollywood, but all the major American media. We agree with them with regard to that. But we see it now here, Dr. McDonald, in the theaters just this year. I'll give you two examples of how they are undermining Christmas and Christianity in the theaters in December. Two movies out right now. One is called Krampus, and it's about the Christmas demon, and the tagline is, you better watch out. And we all know the lyrics to Santa Claus is Coming to Town, you better watch out, you better not cry. Well, they have in the poster to this movie, you better watch out, because Krampus is coming to town, and Krampus is this Christmas demon that are summoned by children who are mad at their parents or something like that. And then another movie starring Seth Rogen, who's probably the most unfunny, overweight Jewish comedian in Hollywood. And basically, he just goes out on Christmas Eve and gets high. Every movie Seth Rogen's in, he's just a stoner. But he goes out and gets high, and he makes fun of Christmas. And
like Bad Santa a couple of years ago.
Well, that was Billy Bob Thornton, but it's the same point, I guess. Kevin, would you like to respond to that?
That's a very good point. On Occidental Observer, we have a number of columns from years past, especially by Edmund Connolly. If you look at his material, he's got
one of our favorites.
He reviews some of these Santa Claus movies from the past. You know, you have these horror movies where the Santa's an evil person, sort of like, I guess, what you're describing. Then there was that show on South Park, or Santa and the Christmas Pooh, or something like that. And it's just scatological garbage. It's just in your face, hostility towards Christianity, and that's the norm. And
unfunny to boot.
They come out with a new one.
Well, you mentioned Santa and the Pooh or whatever. That's also very Jewish humor. They love to make comedy of excrement,
right,
and bowel movements and urine, and especially if they can urinate on a crucifix or something like that, Keith.
Yeah
it's just the thing that's so incredible is that this – people flock to the movies to see these things, and you know, if you look at them with any objectivity, they're just not that funny by any standard. And that, you know, people just lap up this self-hatred towards white Gentiles, which, and the primary audience for this is, again, white Gentiles. White Gentiles are still the majority people in this nation, and you know, you'll find young people that just think this stuff is a catch me out. How have we gotten so brainwashed? I guess there's nothing else. There's no alternative media except for Occidental Observer and this program and a few other places to point all this out to people.
Well, I think certainly the brainwashing hasn't been complete, as Donald Trump is proving, but it has taken root a lot to a much greater extent than it should have. But Kevin, can you answer the question?
Way more. And I was just thinking of an example. I was in a theater in Orange County, California. I'm looking down the row. It's all white people, and we're watching a movie called Adam's Family Values. And on the screen, you have all these non-whites, you know, led by a Jewish guy, some blacks and handicapped kids and so on. And they are actually roasting these two blonde-haired white people on a spit. And everybody's just laughing just uproariously. And it was this multicultural assault on white people. And they just, you know, they don't get it. It goes over their head and they
it reminds me, I did a book review. I did a movie review several years ago about the movie The Help, which was a big chick flick of that summer. And this was a movie that featured the comic highlight of the movie was this mutinous black maid who made a chocolate pie out of her employer's poop and fed it to the employer. Again, typical scatological Jewish humor. And the white people in the audience were laughing with as much gusto as the black people. It's incredible.
And I want to give Kevin plenty of time here, uninterrupted, to make any points he would like to make with regards to the overall topic, which is the assault on Christmas and those who are behind it primarily, and anything else that comes to mind. Kevin, the floor is all yours.
Well, I guess one last point is that it fits into the idea of Jews as a hostile elite. I mean, this is an elite that does run Hollywood. There's no movie in Hollywood that gets out without their approval. These films that we're talking about are almost inevitably have Jewish producers involved in the casting and the whole, you know, proving the story and all that sort of thing. So this is an attack on our traditions and our culture. And it's pervasive. I mean, I wrote the book The Culture of Critique. I didn't talk about Christmas, but you're talking about every other aspect of our culture as well. You know, the idea that identifying as white is a pathology. The idea of America as a proposition nation. All these things come from Jewish intellectuals. They've all been championed by them, but they've been internalized by so many people. It's just sad, very, very sad to see that. I'm on Twitter, and I tweeted something from the New York Times Magazine by a woman who teaches at Northwestern University, a very high-level university, and just absolute self-hating white person, and talking about how, you know, whites have no culture, there's no kinship among whites, that whites are as closely related to each other as they are to black people in Africa. And it's just absolute insanity. And this is the kind of thing that is spewed by our elite media. And, you know, there is a certain, I mean, I agree that the brainwashing has not been complete. And we're seeing that now. So much of it, though, is in a sort of implicit sense that something has gone wrong. Something's horribly wrong. And there, a huge number of white people are angry. They're frustrated. They're anxious about the future. They fear the future when they see Muslims pouring into our country. And then, you know, going on mass murder sprees and that sort of thing. And you know, people like Obama, they have no interest in stopping it. And the only candidate that probably would stop it is Donald Trump. The others, you know, the Republicans are almost just as bad. Yes, we are in a terrible, terrible, terrible situation here. But, you know, again, I don't think that the brainwash has been completed because I think the fears are coming to the surface. And one of the things that struck me about Trump when he talked to that Jewish group is that he's sort of saying, look, I'm way up in the polls here. I'm like three times as much as my closest competitor, you know, and it's sort of, I don't need you, is what he was saying. And that's what I hope it's true. And I mean, there's going to be a media assault on his candidacy like you have never, ever seen in your life. I went through it in 1964 when they went after Barry Goldwater, like you wouldn't believe. But I think this is going to be, that was small potatoes compared to what's going to happen if Donald Trump is nominated.
Well, the thing to remember about all of this that escapes most people is that all of this liberalism that permeates the air we breathe and the water we drink and the lives we live is an anti-white animus. They are against white Gentiles. White Gentiles are their chosen enemy. And, of course, Jews have done this in every nation in which they found themselves in the diaspora ever since the fall of the temple in AD 70 when they were dispersed, basically because the Romans said, you people are effing crazy. We can't allow you to have your own. The biggest troublemaker in the entire Roman Empire. They dispersed them. They said, we're not going to be so cruel as to kill you, but we're not going to let you have your own country anymore, so they dispersed them. Well, whenever they found themselves a minority in any nation, they went and set about intentionally undermining the interest of the ethnic and racial majority of that group. So they're just following a long pattern. But in America, you know, that's why Jews were driven out of virtually every nation, not only in Europe, but in the Middle East, since the diaspora. But America has somehow had their immune system disabled on this. Thank you so much, Dr. McDonald, for your insights.
Great to have you, Kevin, as always. Folks, check him out, theoccidentalobserver.net. And while you're there, subscribe to the Occidental Quarterly print journal, sent out four times a year. Dr. McDonald, everybody, give him a good round of applause. We'll be back with a third hour.